with Dion and Alan.
Alan, we were talking about the importance of context in our last section, and I'd love to get some biblical example of how context can open up the meaning of a text for its reader.
Right. Context, we said, is made up of, in the very least, five things: a date, author, audience, the actual writing, the language in which we find it in, and a social setting. So some passages of Scripture, it's quite easy to work out the context because we're given explicitly the date, the author, the audience. We're introduced to them in the text.
For example, Isaiah 6, you know.
Yes.
In the year of the king, you know.
That's right. Or the book of Revelation. John introduces himself. He's writing from an island of Patmos. We've got the social setting there under Rome, and he's writing to the churches, the persecuted people of his day. So that's quite easy then to work out context. Where the real challenge is, Dion, is to work out the context of Scriptures that do not explicitly tell us what the date is or introduce the author and audience. An example is Genesis. Let's say Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. What we know is the creation stories. Now, nowhere in those creation stories do we have the date, except for in the beginning, which is not as helpful as we would like it to be. We're not introduced to an author. We're not introduced to the audience at all. We're not aware of the social setting in which, when that was written and taking place. So what do scholars do? The only thing we've really got for certainty is the actual text, the language there. So we analyze the text, the genre, the style of the text. And then we go hunting for other texts that have a similar pattern, have a similar genre, style, using similar words. And if those passages have a date, then we use a legal phrase. The balance of probability lies that this passage was written during the same time as that passage. So the second passage we've got a date for, the first passage, Genesis, we don't have a date for, but the writing looks exactly the same. I'm not talking about handwriting, I'm talking about the style and the language, the sentence construction being employed. So if there's a match, we then say, we don't know for 100% sure, but the balance of probability lies that it comes from the same area. Let me give an example. With Genesis chapter 1, we don't know. We're not given a date, author, audience. But when we go search through Scripture, there are a number of passages that match. One example is Psalm 137. By the rivers of?
Babylon.
So now we know where we are, by the rivers of Babylon. Now tell me, Dion, can you remember the date when we were in Babylon?
It was during the exile. I can't remember.
That's 586, 587 BC, before Christ. Okay, so we've got ourselves a date, and you correctly have stated it was during the social setting of exile. Let's dream a little bit. What do you think exile was like for these Jews?
Oh, it must have been terrible for them, you know, removed from the land that God had promised them and given them, and you know, in a place that's strange,
right,
being subservient to others. It must have been a very upsetting time.
One word would be loss.
Yeah.
You've mentioned loss of land, loss of home, loss of work, loss of familiar sights, loss of familiar food, tastes, loss of dreams, loss. So we're dealing with the people in grief and multiple aspects of grief. Now, can you imagine if you were a preacher in those days? You're preaching to this congregation that's lost and grieving loss. One further thing that they've lost, Dion, is their faith in God. Why? They believed, remember, that God was in the Ark of the Covenant. Remember that?
Yeah.
And, well, the Babylonians came along, destroyed the temple, and stole the Ark of the Covenant, meaning God has been stolen.
God's not with them anymore.
God's not with them anymore. So they've even lost God.
Wow.
Now, if you were a preacher, you look out at your congregation. No one's coming to worship anymore. Why? Because there isn't a God to worship.
In fact, Psalm 137 says, how can we sing the Lord's song?
That's
in
right.
This strange land?
Because we used to sing for the Lord. The Lord's gone missing, so we don't sing anymore. So this preacher has lost his choir. Doesn't have a choir anymore. All right?
Yeah.
Now, what would you want to preach? If you've got one sermon to preach, what would be the central message that you would want to communicate to this crowd that has lost everything, including their faith in God?
Hey, man, I'd want to tell them God is with you, and the God who is with you is the one who brings it all together, you know, who gives it all meaning, no matter where you are.
Perfect. Now, what happens if, just what if, Genesis chapter 1 was written during the exile in that context? We could then see that Genesis chapter 1 could be seen as a sermon preached by a preacher to this congregation in multiple grief who doesn't believe in God. And the sermon goes something like this: I see you've lost so much, but I want to remind you that right in the beginning, before all of this happened, God created out of nothing. You've got nothing now. God created out of nothing. So we believe in a God who can take our nothingness, our sense of loss right now, and give us newness. The Babylonians worship the sun, moon, and stars. Our God is so great. Our God hangs their gods up in the sky like little ornaments. And someone in the crowd says, Viva God, viva. And then God says, I've heard what the Babylonians say to you. They say, you're born in the image of mud, good for nothing except to walk over. I want to tell you one thing. You're born in the image of God. You're born in the image of God. Now, can you imagine hearing that when you're in exile? Can you imagine hearing that when you're in exile, where you've lost your dignity and now you're born in the image of God?
Are you stirred by this message? Then get in touch with us and send us a text to +27 782 785 300. For more audio and information on this series, please visit www.mannaandmercy.org.